Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah David, Minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Seventh-day Adventist Congregation, Mount Zion, the 12th Hour. In the Urban Texas, today is the 29th day of April, 2024, or it is the 21st, the 21st day of Zif, 2028. We will start our first service today with the song, and then with the prayer thought, and then with the prayer, and then we'll go into the part two of the synopsis of Isaiah chapter 54 through 66. The V.T. Hollis Shepherd Robber on page 146. Okay, the righteous and the wicked in the day of the trouble, Isaiah 57. This is part two. It says, for the entire 57th chapter deals with the idolatry and the Yahweh's church. Yahweh's people were called to come out of Babylon. For the reason why we are called out is that we are to depart from the customs of Babylon. This chapter reveals the truth. Though we come out, we brought the customs and idolatry into the house of Yahweh. For the evil spoken of in this chapter is Christmas keeping and Christmas gifts one to another. For the ninth verse says, we have honored the king, the devil, by doing this and debase ourselves even unto hell. This surely is true. We as a people spend the Yeshua's money and are telling the public that Christmas is not the birthday of Yeshua, and then turn about and do the same thing the world is doing. By such methods, we are implicated in the highest form of the hypocrisy. And Isaiah 57, 4, 5, and 6 tell of the evil practices of the Israel of old. And written in this chapter for the making of a comparison with the people now and as much as to say we are doing the same as they back there and are no better, quoting volume 1, page 129, I saw that many who profess to believe the truth for these last days think it strange that the children of Israel murmured as they journeyed and asked the wonderful dealings of the Yahweh with them. They should be so ungrateful as to forget what he had done for them, said the angel. We have done worse than they. To explain the entire chapter, it must be taken verse by verse, but being too lengthy, it cannot be done at this present time. True fasting, the Sabbath restored, Isaiah 58. cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sin. Yahweh asks the watchman to cry aloud and not to leave one thing undone. To this to lift up their voices like a trumpet, and fear not how far the sound may reach, to show the transgression and sins to this people by a general house cleaning. For his salvation is nearly come, and his righteousness to be revealed. According to Testimonies and Answers, page 427, we read, cleanse the camp of this moral corruption. If it takes the highest men and the highest position, God will not be trifled with. For the second verse describes the people unto whom he wishes to speak. The first part of the third verse tells of the complaints his people are making. We have fasted and have afflicted our soul, but our prayers are not heard. He takes no knowledge of them, is their cry. The last part of the verse tells where the trouble lies. Behold, in the day of your fast you find pleasure and exact all your labors. This fast shall not be a fast for food. For when one is fasting at food, he is permitted to find pleasure and exact all his labor. In fact, one must go about his daily duties as usual, so that he would show no outward appearance of the fasting. Our Savior requires that this duty be performed in sincerity and not in hypocrisy, for the glory of the Yahweh and not for the attraction and appearance unto men. Okay, so as we continue, for Yahshua said, moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites, have a sad countenance. Alright, let's do this again now. For Yahshua said, moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites, have a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear and to men to fast. It says, really I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head, and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Matthew 6:16-18. Turning back unto Isaiah 58:13, tells the kind of fast this is. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Yahweh honorable, and shall on a man, him, not doing our own ways, nor finding our own pleasure, nor seeking, nor speaking thine own words. Therefore, the fast mentioned here is not a fasting of food, but of pleasure, labor, and our own ways and thoughts, and that we must honor Yahweh and keep the Sabbath holy. The charge is what we exact, that we exact all our labor on the Sabbath day. As a people, we have forgotten the true meaning of the Sabbath keeping. We have come to suppose that anything which pertaineth more of less to religion is permissible on Yahweh's holy day. It is said it is Yahweh's day, but Yahweh has never said anywhere in the scriptures that the people are at liberty to do all manner of work that pertain unto the religion. On the Sabbath day, work which can be done on a day other than the Sabbath is not a work for the Sabbath. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Yahweh. Thy Yahweh, in it thou shalt not do any work. Note the way the commandment reads, any work. Yahweh does not mean that we can do our work in the 6 days and on his on the Sabbath. He says it is a day of rest, not physical, but scriptural rest. For instance, it would be wrong for one to sell good religious books on the Sabbath, even if he turned all the proceeds to the church. It would be wrong for a surgeon to perform the surgical operations on the patients on the Sabbath day if it can be done at another time. It would be wrong for a nurse to give treatments to patients on the Sabbath day if it was not absolutely necessary. Read volume 7, page 106, where it says it would be wrong for a church council to meet on the Sabbath and discuss the church business or make plans of any kind. It would be wrong for a Sabbath keeper to load himself with the evangelical announcement for a series of the meetings and distribute them from house to house on the Sabbath day. All this manner of work would be done on a day other than the Sabbath. When we do this kind of work on the Sabbath, we do it to save ourselves an hour or so of time for the next day. Thus we rob Yahweh of his time and add it to our secular pleasure. If it be wrong for one to go and sell good religious books on the Sabbath, though he turns all the proceeds to the church, it would be doubly wrong to sell that same book in the house of Yahweh on the Sabbath day, regardless of what is done with the income. If all of this is true, then it would we long to go out with the harvest, the engineering papers, and receive contributions for the missions on this Sabbath. It is time for Yahweh to call our attention unto these things. You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy unto you. Whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. Directions have just been given for the immediate erection of the tabernacle for the service of Yahweh, and now the people might conclude, because the object had in view was the glory of Yahweh, and also because of their great need of a place of their worship, that they would be justified in working at the building upon the Sabbath. To guard them from that error, a warning was given. Even the sacredness and urgency of their special work for Yahweh must not lead them to infringe upon the holy rest day. For the balance of the chapter 58 teaches that we must take care of our poor and sick. Instead of sending them to the country farm or hospital, if we are to delight in the Yahweh, there are many lessons that we can draw from the services of the ancient Israel. Yahweh gave them the seventh day Sabbath as a day of the rest for the praise and thanksgiving. So the sacrificial was a sacred religious service requiring much labor. They were not permitted to do it on the seventh day Sabbath. According to Patriarchs and Prophets, pages 313 and 314. Now let's look at Numbers 28:9. And on the Sabbath day, two lambs of the first year without spot, and two tenth deals of flour for a meat offering, mingle with the oil and the drink offering thereof. This is the burnt offering of every Sabbath, besides the continual burnt offering and his drink offering. So according to the Numbers here, chapter 28, verse 9 and 10, they sacrificed animals on the seventh day Sabbath. So Vicki House didn't have this information all correct. So I think in Ezekiel 44, I think they did the same thing. On Ezekiel 46, verse 4, and the burnt offering that the prince shall offer unto the Yahweh in the Sabbath day shall be six lambs without the blemish, and a ram without blemish. There you have it right there. Ezekiel 46, verse 4. So, they did offer sacrifices on the seventh day of Sabbath, showing that the seventh day of Sabbath was part of those feast days of the sanctuary. They had to be sacrificed as well. Had to sacrifice animals as well. Alright, it says, let us continue. For this reason, Yahweh gave them the monthly Sabbath and they were to do that sacred work. So let's go read about the monthly Sabbath there in Numbers 28. Let's go back and read about that. If Yahweh did not allow every kind of religious service to be performed on the seventh day Sabbath, then will he now? How did Yahweh change that? Well, Pete was misquoting the Bible here. So Yahweh did allow it because this is Yahweh's orders that he created himself. So why would he? And then Vitihara goes on and quotes and says, Yahweh says, I'm the Yahweh and I change not. So Vitihara misquotes Yahweh on sacrifice on the seventh day Sabbath, and he says, now Yahweh says, I change not. So let's go read Numbers again. Let's go read Numbers 28. And I'll show you something here. And he says in verse 11, and in the beginnings of your month, which is your new moon, you shall offer a burnt offering unto the Yahweh, two young bullocks and one ram, seven lambs of the first year without spot. So now here Vitihalef is, he's connecting up. Yes, you're to sacrifice on all your monthly Sabbath of the new moon, but you're not to sacrifice on the seventh day Sabbath. But yet I just read to you, Numbers 28, verse 9, 10, and 11, where it says they sacrifice on the seventh day Sabbath, they also sacrifice on the new moon, the monthly Sabbath. So, this is something that Walter Johnson corrected with the creation calendar and the restoration of the sanctuary service in 1970, with the ordained system of true worship, with the daily put intact, and that's the way it is today, to be taught. We have these spiritual sacrifices that we are to offer up on the seventh day Sabbath, and they are done at the daily, at the 9 o'clock, and at the 3 o'clock, every day, 7 days a week. Okay, a Redeemer promised unto a penitent people. So here we are. Says a Redeemer promised to a penitent people. So it says, tell how terrible and grievous our sins are. Isaiah, that's 59, 2-8, tells us how terrible and grievous our sins are in the Yahweh's sight. For the first verse contains a wonderful promise. Behold, the Yahweh's hand is not shortened that he cannot save, neither his ear heavy that he cannot hear. If we would repent of our sins and turn unto him with fasting and prayer, though our sins are unspeakably great, Isaiah 59:9-13, are of a good report, some of the people are conscious and repenting from their sins. Isaiah 59:16-19 is a prophecy too sad to speak of. It applies unto those unto whom the responsibility rested for the bringing about of the Reformation by presenting the lessons to the church in the true light, calling every sin by its right name instead of applying it unto other people and times, and thereby diverting the instructions intended for the church. For the abominations in the scriptures were overlooked, and unheeded. And Yahweh expected of the people during the first 3 months of 1929 was not accomplished simply because those in responsible position failed to discharge their duty. Okay. So that was a general conference of ministers then that failed to discharge their duty in 1929. Isaiah 59:16, first part, and he saw that there was no man, and wonderful that there was no intercessor. Yahweh was astonished, Moses and Aaron astonished, Moses and Aaron stood between the dead and the living. Numbers 16:48, Yahweh used Elijah on the Mount Carmel. 1 Kings 18, and the crisis here brought to view, Yahweh finds no man. Ezekiel 22:30. So he himself interposes. Isaiah 59:16-18. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate and an helmet of salvation upon his head, and he put on the garments of the vengeance for the clothing, and was clad with the zeal as a cloak. According unto their deeds, accordingly he will repay fury unto his adversaries, recompense unto his enemies. Unto the islands he will repay recompense. And for the Yahweh clothes himself with his own attributes. Well, it's actually Yahshua the Son that he's using to do this. For Yahshua the Son of Yahweh clothes himself with his own attributes and advances for the sitting things right. Had there been a man, Yahweh would have let the man do the work. But as there was none, he does it himself. So Yahshua started that in Kermit, Texas, 2002 at the Passover with Willis Johnson. This reveals one of Yahweh's working principles. He will use one man or a nation to help correct and punish another. When that cannot be done, Yahweh steps in. While Yahweh will come with vengeance to some, he comes with the salvation unto others. Isaiah 59:20. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion. This is not referring unto the second coming of the Yahshua in the cloud, for it takes place before the probation closes. He is not coming with the vengeance to the unrighteous in the world, but coming to the house of Israel, the Seventh Day Adventist Church today. And when he comes, he will do the work mentioned in Matthew 3:1-3. Isaiah 59:19. So shall they fear the name of the Yahshua from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. For the Yahshua will make this coming as an example unto the nation, just as he did with the Sodom and Gomorrah. Isaiah 59:19. Last part. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the spirit of the Yahshua shall lift up a standard against him. John in Revelation 12:15 refers to this incident, and the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. The woman here mentioned in the Yahweh's church, the Seventh-day Adventist, which keep the commandments of Yahweh and have the testimony of Yahshua Messiah, that would have to be the ones that keeps the feast days. That's a testimony of Yahshua, the additional Sabbath days that goes with the Seventh-day Sabbath. And Gilead Center is only part of the Seventh-day Adventist movement that did this. And they did it from 1970 to 2003. And Brother Johnson is the one that instituted and restored the creation calendar and all the feast days to the rightful order, and the publishing the ordained system of true worship and the daily and so forth, and tried to practice it all for 33 and a half years, in which he miserably ended up failing, but nevertheless it was restored by him. And that's what it's talking about. Well, you find a people with this testimony of Yahshua, then you have a people with the sanctuary system restored. And that was only Gilead Center from 1970 to 2003. Okay, in the path. For the blue law has a different city and is described in the Revelation. Is Revelation 13 as a persecuting power for the enforcing of the mark of the beast. The flood is the same as water, which means people. And church, unconverted, when Satan is using the to cause the church to be carried away in a very quiet manner, so that no one would be suspicious of their great deception. In this water, he attempts to deceive the very elect, 144,000, if it were possible. Being impossible, Yahshua himself interposes and delivers his people, those who sigh and cry for all the abominations in the church, and then makes an example of the others. Revelation 12:16. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood that the dragon had cast out of his mouth. For the meaning is that they die. For the meaning is that they die, being buried in the earth. As in the number 1632, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertained unto the core, and all their goods. Thus the spirit of Yahshua shall lift up a standard against him, Isaiah 59:19, last part. This will fulfill Matthew 13:29-30. Let both the wheat and the tares grow together until the harvest, for the separation will mark the beginning of the harvest. So that's what happened down at Kermit at 2002. The fact that the first time that they had a separation in the Adventist church since 1844, where the two classes in the church were separated from each other, that happened at Kermit, Texas, 2002-2003, which is the loud cry of the third angel's message. Okay. So it's a loud cry. So the three angels is going to be repeated with a loud cry, Revelation 18:1. For the Spirit of Yahweh is poured upon His people, those who escape the ruin, and the promise is that it shall never depart from them, Isaiah 59:21. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith Yahweh, my spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, saith Yahweh, from henceforth and forever. Read Isaiah, the Gospel Prophet, volume 3, pages 43 to 49. It says, as soon as the separation is finished and Satan has lost out with his deceptive scheme, the church finds herself in a great conflict with the enemy, Revelation 12:17. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, those who are left, which keep the commandments of the Yahweh and have the testimony of the Yahshua Messiah. And the Holy Spirit is impressing with what the real testimony of Yahshua is. That's His blood that He has given on the cross, that He made available, the sprinkling of the blood, and those that avail themselves of by obedience to all His statutes and judgments, which Yahshua says in John 15:10, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my law, even as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in His law. So if we keep Yahshua's statutes and judgments, which we're keeping a holy day today, this is the last Sabbath of the solemn Sunday of the second Passover of the year. We're keeping it this year. And it says the testimony of Yahshua, the war against the woman is the blue law. So the war against the woman is the blue law. So that blue law then would be applied to the purified church after it becomes purified. Then that's when they'll try to enforce the blue law. The final triumph of the righteous, Isaiah 60. For this chapter begins with the words, Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of Yahshua is risen upon thee. For thee, latter rain, the Spirit of the Yahweh, and the glory of the power. The chapter tells of the end gathering in the time of the harvest. Okay, in the time of the harvest. Okay, for a great multitude composed of all nations and classes of people, rich and poor alike, from all walks of the life, kings and rulers among them, and also the wealth of the Gentiles, shall come unto the purified church of the everlasting kingdom of, that is mentioned there, of David, Daniel 2:44-45, that in the days of these kings shall the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, left to other people, but it shall stand forever. Actually, this is the Father that is the power behind setting up this kingdom, because He sent His Son to do it, and His Son sits upon the throne of David, Luke 1:32-33, to accomplish this fact, to set up the everlasting kingdom that covers the whole world and bringing all of the righteous for all ages. Okay. For the nation and the kingdom that will not serve them, the church shall perish. The multitude gathered here are the ones with the stones in their hands. Revelation 7:9. Isaiah 60:19-20. Tell of the purity of Yahweh's church and this care over his people, Isaiah 60:21, it says, thy people also shall be all righteous, for the unclean and the unconverted will not be permitted in the church. Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth there shall no more come unto thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Isaiah 51. For the remnant of Israel shall not do iniquity, nor speak lies. Now, neither shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth, for they shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. Zephaniah 3:13, verse 22 of Isaiah 60, mentions their success in the winning souls under the Yahshua as the builders of the old waste places, Isaiah 61. It says, for the first verse and part of the second apply unto the Yahshua himself at the beginning of the ministry. For the spirit of the prophecy says it will repeat itself with the people of Yahweh. This would find the fulfillment of the time of the harvest with the 144,000. Those who escaped the ruins of Isaiah 59 and 63, by whose effort the great multitude of the Revelation 7-9 is made. Isaiah 61-2, for the proclaiming of the acceptable year of the Yahshua, and for the day of the vengeance of our Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh. For the acceptable year cannot be a prophetic time, for it would have been 365 years. Well, this is wrong. The theologians have no business inserting that statement in there, because we do have prophecy that points out 1 year something will be done in it. For instance, Malachi 4, where it says, they go forth and grow up as chaz of the stall. Well, chaz of the stall go up in 1 year. Okay. There is a good reason for believing that this must be that year in which the lessons came and the truth in them made known. Had this not been the prophetic year, the call would not have come. For Yahweh kept a few accurate time. For Nineveh, Yahweh gave 40 days and to repent. Now unto his people, he gives 1 year to make good. Okay, that's a good thing to know. Otherwise, he would have to spew them out of his mouth, and this applies unto those upon whom the responsibility rests, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, right. So, this message then was directed to Gilead Center, Kermit, Texas, 2002, because Volus was then as the angel of the candlestick of Laodicea, the Seventh Day Adventist Church. He was the inspired prophet that was at that time presiding over the candlestick for Israel, for the spiritual Israel of the day, and that's the Adventist Church. Okay. So it says, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, I know thy works. So this message was first directly given to Brother W. Johnson, starting at Passover 2002. Yahshua was there in person to deliver the message himself and take the reins in his own hands and discharge his slothful servant. That's pointed out there in Matthew 24:45-47. that thou art neither cold nor hot, I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Revelation 3:16. For the call to this great and solemn work was presented unto the men of learning and position. Had these been little in their own eyes and trusted fully in the Yahshua, he would have honored them with the bearing his standard and the triumph to the victory. But they separated from Yahweh, yielded to the influence of the world, and the Yahshua rejected them. Volume 5, page 282. For the day of the vengeance is, and the Isaiah 61:2 follows the year. The day may be prophetic, which in that case would mean a literal year. Thus it would mean a year in each case. This year of the vengeance is not the seventh last plague, nor is it the destruction of the wicked at the second coming of Yahshua. It takes place before the close of the probation. Now this is something else. This takes place before the probation for the Seventh-day Adventist Church. That's when 144,000 comes forth. Then the first fruits of harvest out of the Adventist Church. Then that's when probation closes for the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And then there is another probation closing then for the world after the Gentiles are harvested in. For in Isaiah 61:4 we read, and they shall build the old waste, they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair their waste cities, for the desolations of the many generations. For the meaning of this verse is for the restoring of the truth of the Yahweh, which is the sanctuary restored, put back into this lawful order with all the feast days and facts and obedience and compliance to what it says in Nahum 1:15, O Judah, keep thy solemn feast, perform thy vows, so the wicked shall no longer pass through thee, he is utterly cut off, which has been trodden down under the foot for many generations, for the 144,000 as the true Israel of the Yahweh. They are the true purified Israel of the Yahweh. And that's why they get the name Israel. Except the Adventist Church don't get that spiritual name Israel. They only get that name Laodicea because they are impure. Thus we see that after the day of the vengeance, the serious truth is to be restored and revealed unto the people. Therefore, it must be before the close of the probation. The balance of the chapter confirms the same thought. For the day of the vengeance is as the same in the Ezekiel 9, Isaiah 63, and Isaiah 61, as previously explained. For the Isaiah 61:6 meaning that the 144,000 says they are priests, as explained on pages 37 and 38. For the holy people, as the Yahweh's redeemed, it's all found in Isaiah 62. In volume 3, page 65. About Isaiah, the gospel prophet, it says, we read, I will not rest, for Yahweh is speaking. He has determined that the righteousness of the people shall become evident, and he will not rest until it is accomplished. Okay, let's do that again. It says, in the volume 3 of page 65, of Ellen G. White's testimony, Isaiah, the gospel prophet, we will read, "I will not rest, for Yahshua, the Son, is speaking here, the Son of Yahweh, for he has determined that the righteousness of his people shall become evident, and he will not rest until it is accomplished." For the words indicate not only determination, but also that there has been delay, that now the crisis has come, and that the Yahshua is tremendously in earnest for the sin of the work finished, for the Yahshua intends for the exhibiting of his people unto the world. For he wants to demonstrate what can be done in the human flesh, and he will not rest satisfied until his people reflect his image fully. When that is done, the earth will be lightened with the glory of Yahweh. Revelation 18:1. Okay. Afflicted for his people's sake. Okay, Yahshua was afflicted for his people's sake. But what do you think about his leaders that he places over his candlestick? They have to be afflicted too for the people's sake. Okay, Isaiah 63:1-3. So it says, "Who is this that cometh from Bozrah with the dyed garments from Bozrah? This that is glorious in his apparel, a traveling in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in the righteousness, mighty to save." So this is Yahshua, him, the Son of Yahweh. "Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth the winepress? I have trodden the wine press alone, and of the people there was none with me, for I will tread them in mine anger and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garment, and I will strain all my raiment. For the last part of the preceding chapters speaks of the holy people for the redeemed, as the redeemed of Yahweh. For the first part of this chapter concerns those who have rejected the Yahshua, those who are to leave the name for a curse. Unto them the day of the vengeance has come, for the picture is not a pleasant one to look at. For that day came, it starts the Passover 2002 interpretation. That's been going on for the last 22 years. But it is true. It is Yahweh's strange work. For Edom, that was the headquarters for the firstborn of Isaac and Jacob, that was Esau, the one that despised his birthright. That is a symbol of the Adventist church today, which has despised her birthright as well. Who Edom is another name for the Esau. See Genesis 25:30. For Esau had his name changed because he sold his birthright for a bowl of pottage. For the class here are tempted, or termed, Edom, because they have sold their birthright for the self-gratification, for the satisfying of the lust, the Yahshua of the appetite. This regard of the health reform and explain on the pages of 59 and 60. Bozra is the name of this city. The name means sheepfold, a symbol of the truth. Isaiah 63:4. For the day of the vengeance is in mine heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. Note, for the day of the vengeance, the Yahshua says is in his heart, but the year of his redeemed is come. Note, the verb come is in the present tense, just as in the Revelation 14:7. So that met its fulfillment starting at the Passover 2002, saying with a loud voice, fear the Yahweh and give glory unto him, for the hour of his judgment is come. We as a people hold that the verb come was inscribed in the present tense, because the judgment in the heaven took place at the end of the 2300 days of the Daniel's prophecy in 1844. But it was not understood until after the prophetic period had passed. Therefore, Yahshua did not intend to make the judgment known. So that this is a judgment of the living, until after the hour had come. Well, this actually is talking first about the judgment of the dead, 1844, and now 2002 is talking about the judgment of the living. For the heaven, for this reason, inspiration inscribed the occurrence in the present tense, is come, in order to be grammatically correct. William Miller made the mistake of the event for the transfer at the end of the 2300 days, namely the sanctuary tree, for Yahshua entering the most holy place and the beginning of the judgment. If the preceding scripture is true, then the time in Isaiah 63:4 is just as dependable as any. This chapter, or the incident recorded in it, has never been understood. Therefore, Yahshua must have preserved the prophecy for a given time. Now that is for now, 2024, with the Mount of the 12th hour, the house of David, the lawgiver, with Yahshua sitting upon the throne of David now at this time. Now, that's why we understand it. Now the prophecy is understood, and being in the present tense, we must believe then that the year of his redeemed is come. If one should disbelieve this interpretation given, then he means to say Yahweh has made a mistake in inscribing the verse is in the present tense. This may be said, if not by the words, then by the action. Okay, this brings the end of our study. This hour, contact us at the 11th hour call. That's number 11. We're going to close now with a song.
Face to face with Yahshua, my Savior. Face to face with Yahshua, my Savior. Face to face, where will it be? When with rapture I behold him, Yeshua, who died for me, face to face I shall behold him. from the starry sky. Face to face in all His glory, I shall see Him by and by. Only faintly now I see Him, with the deluded between, but a blessed day is coming, His glory shall be seen. Face to face I shall behold Him, far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all His glory, I shall see Him by and by. What a rejoicing in His presence, when our banished grief and pain, when the crooked ways are straightened, and the dark things shall be plain. Face to face I shall behold Him, far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all His glory, I shall see Him by and by. Face to face, O blessed moment, face to face to see Him known. Face to face with my Redeemer, Yahshua, who loves me so. Face to face I shall behold Him, far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all His glory, I shall see Him by and by.